Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engaged to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Kyle and I got Brett with me today.
But which Brett is it?
Yeah, that's right. It's not Brett Hirata today. It is Brett Yee. Welcome to the show, Brett.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And also, hi, Brett Hirata.
yeah, and Brett is sitting in Brett Hirata's chair. So
it's the Brett chair now.
We've decided to name it the Brett chair. So for those of you that don't know, Brett Yee and I grew up together at Cerritos Baptist Church. And we've done a lot of stuff together, actually.
Yes.
We went on a missions trip in 2007 to Japan.
Yes.
That was an amazing trip. And we were actually got to be roommates for at least one of the weeks that we were there. And mm-hmm. I have so many awesome, fond memories of that time that we were together. And, Brett and I have tried to stay in contact since we've left CBC. And that's how we ended up on the show today, is that we were going to have lunch. And I just kind of threw it out there if he would be open to coming on to the podcast. And he was gracious and said he would love to be on it. So yeah, welcome, Brett.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Yeah, it's cool. It's always fun having different voices. So
cool.
Welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's great just to just talk with people who like you're not always in each other's lives immediately, but mm-hmm. you have a shared past, shared history.
Mm-hmm. So as we do with a lot of our first time guests, we start off with a question, and that question is, what has God been highlighting to you recently? So Brett, what are some things that God's been teaching you and highlighting to you in your life?
So I think that it's just been two words, and it's just been joy and peace.
Oh, that's kind of interesting, huh, Kyle?
Yeah.
You guys have joy and peace on your hearts too?
Well,
never.
That's the whole thing, right?
I want those. No. No, you can explain.
Okay, so for our multi-generational services, one of the things that we've been doing is we've been talking about fruit of the Spirit. And so I've actually had the opportunity to share on two of the fruit of the Spirit in the past 3 or 4 months.
Yeah,
and
nice.
The two that I did were joy and peace.
There you go.
So
give us your insights now. Then we can
confirmation. Yeah. Confirmation.
Well, it's absolute confirmation, right? I think the thing is that, we live in a chaotic world. And not just, you think of world events and all the stuff, the craziness all around. And there's just this madness and this anxiety that can just take over. You go on social media, you look at the news, all that kind of stuff. It's just inundated everywhere. And so I just really felt like God was saying joy and peace. Those are just some things that we just have to tap into and almost, claim for ourselves as fruits of the Spirit that can just overcome all those other things. Because if we're just so wrapped up in all the craziness around the world, it just seeps into our own lives, it seeps into our families, it seeps into our work life, and that's not who we want to broadcast ourselves as. And so just being able to really tap into God's joy and peace, being thankful for our salvation, being thankful for the Holy Spirit, just finding joy in what he's doing in our lives, it really just, I think, brings that perspective and simplifies things to where we're able to carry on with the missions of the gospel and with the kingdom life that we're supposed to be living that can just get thrown out the window when we're not living in joy and peace.
So when I hear that, God highlighted those two words to you, but then what? Because I feel like in our Christian walks, we get those ahas and we get new kind of knowledge, new wisdom, but then we still have a choice to do something with it. So, since God's highlighted that to you, what has changed or what have you done with those two words?
So I think taking those two words and bringing it into your life as a as a sort of a mantra, mm-hmm. and for me it's okay, in the morning it's when I'm mm-hmm. trying to spend time with God, okay, help me find my peace again. Mm-hmm. Where is my peace coming from? Mm-hmm. Where is that joy coming from? And just letting the Holy Spirit just teach us and mold us and bring that into our lives so that it starts saturating into the rest of our day. Mm. And obviously, once your feet hit the ground and, you're running around with the kids and all the other stuff you're doing in life, yeah, it's sometimes hard to remember that. Mm. But just being able to just, I think, that old phrase, practice the presence of God. Mm-hmm. Really just letting him speak to you during the day. And trying to quiet your mind during those moments and really be focused on focus on what's in front of you, but not letting that overwhelm you. Mm-hmm. And then really being able to pray in that moment. And like, yeah, it's like when you're in those moments of chaos, yeah, you don't always have time to, you know, like, okay, let's bow your head and let's, you know, take a moment. But it's like, okay, really practicing and letting that into your life, just being a almost like an autonomic response. It's like, bam, like there it is. And that takes training. Mm-hmm. And so I think practicing that kind of discipline and just letting the truth of the gospel seep into your heart more and more, that helps you get there. And obviously, you know, we're not going to get that every day. Mm-hmm. You can ask my kids. You can ask my wife. It didn't happen every day. But, you know, yeah, and it's almost like it's a gradual growth into that.
Yeah.
Almost
yeah.
to where you don't even realize it sometimes. And you just get the feedback from people around you like, well, wow, you've been more peaceful lately. Right. You've been able to handle your emotions better. Yeah, those things haven't bothered you as much. And gradually, I think the Holy Spirit grows you into that. So it is a choice, but it is also just accepting the Holy Spirit's guidance and leading into your own life.
Yeah, I think that's a good word, especially in light of, you know, the direction of where we are as a church right now, where we are doing some of these boot camps. Pastor Barry is doing a boot camp on hearing the Lord's voice, right? And sometimes it takes us being intentional about it at the beginning, where we're very intentional about these things so that then they become kind of like you were saying, that autonomic response where it's just, this is a normal part of our life, right? Yeah. So at the beginning, it might be, I need to spend time with the Lord so I can hear his voice. But then as we are learning how to do that, as we're discerning more, then we're starting to hear his voice all the time and not just when we're specifically setting that time aside to do it.
Yeah.
But we're just, might be crazy outside and we're just hearing the Lord say, do this, this is how I see you. This is where how I see your kids. This is how I want you to respond in this situation. Just because we took that time at the beginning to be intentional about it, and now it's just become, that's the norm. I'm hearing God's voice.
Yeah. I love that you brought up like how God sees you. And I think that actually is a huge thing that God brought up for me in terms of finding that peace. Because like, oh yeah, you're my son. You're beloved. Mm. And so much of our responses to chaos or come from our anxieties and our insecurities and the way that sin or sin done to us has molded us and messes up from where God wants to bring us. And so when we're able to tap into that identity, when we're reminded of really who we are, that we, you know, we're chosen, we're beloved, then that I think calms the storms in our own hearts. And that gives us a lot of the peace that we've really been looking for. And like I've been studying the Beatitudes for a preach in a few weeks, and just I'm reminded that like all these Beatitudes are like, oh, or not all of them, but you know, a good portion of them are like, oh, these sort of things that sound kind of negative in a way. And then it's like, you're blessed because you're that, because God's gonna meet you in this place. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, my satisfaction comes from the Lord. My satisfaction comes from the gospel, comes from Jesus. And so, yeah, it slowly just transforms you into the person that you're supposed to be.
Mm. It's interesting hearing you both talk. Well, first I'm imagining some of our listeners are like, that's not what I want to hear. Because because it's a different message than society. In society, it's quick, fast, get the results right away. Sure. Whereas what you're describing, Brett, was like it's a process and it's a journey. And it's like, yeah, that's the truth, but it's like, oh, I just want it to happen quick. I just want it to be like, I want to be a new person now. But it's like these types of things, it's the slow game, the long game, right? And then the other part is like hearing you describe, sometimes you get the results, you recognize the results inside first before even people recognize them outside. But I think that's what's cool is when you do get that confirmation from people on the outside and you're like, yeah, I've been working on this for a while and it's taken a lot of time, but wow, people are actually recognize that I'm different in some way. I'm responding in different. Usually it's your kids, your family, because they know you more and they see you in more intimate situations. But I think it's cool is that you've already been on the journey of the long run, but now they're seeing the fruit of it and you're like, okay, good. Okay, somebody else is recognizing it, because I thought I was doing good and I thought I was changing, but now I'm getting that. And it's I don't know, it just makes me smile, because I'm like, yeah, there's the good aspect of it, but then it's like, but I don't want that. I want it now. I want, you know, right. So that's that struggle.
Oh, totally. And I mean, hey, we're American. We want stuff right away. But yeah, getting that feedback from especially family who you know, like, yeah, your buttons get pressed more. You know, your fuse is shorter with them for whatever reason. Just that familiarity kind of thing. My son the other day, he said, "Dad, you're a pretty good dad. I'm rating you a 9 out of 10.
Wow, yeah, 9 out of 10 is good.
I'll take that. That's an A minus. Yeah, I'll take that. So it is fun to hear that feedback and just know that the Lord's working. Like there's a little testimony in that.
Yeah.
But it is a process.
Yeah.
I think we have to be okay with that.
Yes, we do.
I mean, I'm not saying that the Lord can't do miracles because He does, but sometimes He may just transform, boom, just like that. He's gonna break off something,
sure.
And boom, you're healed of that, and there you go. I would say for the most part, though, discipleship is a journey,
and it's not a straight line journey.
Yeah,
it's up and down, but you're making gradual progress. But there's, oh man, why did I do that again? You know, but no, I just speak that out because I think sometimes listeners see. Okay, and I don't want this to come across the wrong way, but see me in a light where like, oh wow, you got this all together. And sometimes that's true, but sometimes there's inner struggles, or sometimes it's you're seeing the after effects of 10 years of trying to walk this out, and I'm like, I'm just finally getting the hang of it.
Oh,
so
totally.
You know, I don't want people to get the wrong idea of like, oh, this stuff's just easy, just why is it taking me so long, you know?
Oh no, there has to be grace for yourself.
Yes.
Because so many of us have different journeys. We all start at different points. We all have different experiences and different traumas, different things that have created this sin to be bigger or smaller as
right,
it is.
Right.
And as we work on those things, we just have to know that God is working at His pace. Mm-hmm. I'm always reminded.
Even our own pace, like what we can handle. He knows what we can handle.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Yeah, there's just different layers of our own souls that have to be unlocked in a way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And God knows what we can handle at that moment. And we may not be ready for, like, if you think about like just some of the traumas we experience, some person may not be ready to confront that thing that is causing them to be impatient or explosive in their anger or whatever. They're not ready to confront that right then. They're just ready to just acknowledge I got to work on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then as God starts to unravel you, starts to work into your heart, wait a minute, then I didn't think about this experience. I didn't think about what happened 20 years ago. I didn't think about how I felt unloved at this point or whatever. And then God's going to start to work on that. Mm-hmm. And that is a process. But, for God, 1,000 years is I forget where we got the time.
A day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day.
Yeah, exactly, right? It's like, it's His time.
Yep.
Yeah, and we experience like this is this second, this is this minute, but it's we have to be trusting in that, mm-hmm. and I think when we come to that revelation that it is His timing, and that there may be deep stuff that we have to tackle, and we want it right away because we can see the damage, we can see how it hurts other people, we can see how it hurts ourselves, but if we're going to grow our trust in God, we have to be okay with His timing, mm-hmm. and have to be okay that we're not okay at this moment, but spiritually we are okay because we're living that victory,
mm-hmm.
and that victory is being shaped in us through our sanctification and growing us to that place. And that may mean I'm not fully there until my deathbed.
Yeah.
But guess what? God is doing something right now.
Yeah.
If I'm open to that.
Awesome.
Wow. I'm enjoying this conversation.
Okay. So I was going to say, man, the Brett chair is the deep thought chair because the other Brett who just came in the room, he's smiling over there.
Oh.
That is the deep thought chair. It's
and
like
I see other friends that I haven't seen. Yeah. For so long.
I'm like, man, I want to sit in that chair now. I want that imparted on me.
So one of the reasons that we brought Brett on today is to talk about Father's Day because we just had and celebrated Father's Day this past weekend and.
Yep.
Brett is a dad. He has two kids of his own. And, the three of us all having kids, we wanted to just talk a little bit and have a little bit of a discussion about some of the different things that the Lord has shown us about Himself that may be a little bit different than we had experienced before in our roles as dads. So, Brett, is there anything that you feel like the Lord has really shifted in your perspective of maybe who He is as you've stepped into being a dad?
Of who God Himself is?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. That's a good question. It's I think just being able to really see him as a father. Mm. And I'll say this in the context of my own dad. Okay. And I, you know, obviously we all have our own dads, and my dad was, I mean, I don't want to like label him or whatever, like judge him in terms of like, because a lot of you may know my dad.
somebody might forward him this podcast. You never know.
Yeah. you know, it's like, okay, he wasn't perfect. He was a good dad. Yeah. My dad was an excellent dad, but yeah, he has his shortcomings. He has his things that, he knows that he could have done differently. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you don't realize that for being a dad until you're actually a dad. Mm-hmm. And then knowing then the grace that God has for us in comparison for that is just like, oh, wow. Because as I'm growing up to be a dad, I'm also having to sort of realign my sonship in recognizing that God is my father too. And like how he is fathering me, how he is continuing to raise me. It's like, okay, yeah, I'm almost 40. But no, I'm still being raised as a son by my Heavenly Father. So kind of, I guess it's almost like growing in my own awe of him and the job that he is doing in my life still and still growing me. Because it's like, oh, yeah, you're like, you're an adult now. You should have it all together. It's like, oh, that's not true at all. That is far from the truth. And I think I had to come to grips with more of my own shortcomings, more of my own failures, more of my own sin, more of my own selfishness as a dad. Mm. Especially in today's day and age, where it's like, yeah, there's so many distractions. We're defined by our work, or you know, we have all these other things in our life that are calling, wanting your attention, and like I feel pulled. I'm feeling pulled to all these other things, performing and all those other things, and suddenly it's like, oh wow, like. That can take me away from being a dad. Mm. All these things I have to confront about myself in order to let myself be a better dad, be a more godly dad. So, but going back to the original question, it's like, yeah, like, wow, God's grace is just enormous. Mm. And yet he still wants to grow me despite all of the shortcomings that I realized I suddenly never tackled. Mm. Kind of thing.
How about for you, Kyle?
Oh, I wanted to hear you share some stuff, man.
Before he outs himself.
That's my job as the host. I get to point who's next, so you're next.
What if I say I got nothing, so it's on nose?
So God has not taught you anything about being a dad.
Yeah, I'm in a brain fog right now. Okay, so one thing that's been highlighted to me recently, it's humbling because I see aspects of myself in my son. So my oldest son is 15. Mm-hmm. And he knows it all. And I mean, he's got everything figured out. And I'm like, oh, man, I was like that at that age. And things were simple. I was a very much a black and white type person. Like, oh, it's this and that. And you know, I'm seeing that in him, yet I'm having to kind of like gently correct him to see that you don't know it all yet. And there's a lot more to it than just like what you're seeing. And then I was, as you were sharing, I'm starting to laugh. I'm like, yeah, that's probably me and God too. He's like, hey, yeah, God, I already got it figured out. I know what I'm doing. And then he's like, yeah, but you don't quite know the depths yet. And I'm like, yeah. And then when he shows you that, you're like, oh yeah, thanks for humbling me. Yeah. And it, but so like, as my spiritual maturity has developed, I've been able to take that seat of like, oh yeah, wow, I really don't know much at all. You know, in light of who God is and what he is. And then I'm like, wow, I had to do that same maturing just in, you know, the physical world and relational and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, okay, my kid's on the same journey. I think that's, there's an aspect of it that's just all of us. As we mature, we need to be taught that. So I'm like, okay, that's my role now. I could do it in a way where I'm like, dude, you don't know anything. Like, be really demeaning versus like, hey, I've been in your shoes. There's a lot more to it. And I wanted to try to help you with it, but you're also going to have to like step into it and figure it out as you go, but just be more open-minded. And I wish, you know, not I wish, but it's nice to have that at an earlier age than just having to do it on your own as you get older. Because
yeah.
I got about a decade on you, so I'm a little further down the path. And but it's, yeah, it that's what was highlighted.
Yeah. You know, I think one of the big things that I've had to learn is, like, you know, you mentioned that you see a lot of your son in yourself, mm-hmm. and just how much we pass on, mm-hmm. even inadvertently, to them including our
the stuff you don't want to pass
exactly,
on.
Yeah, especially those things.
I know. That's what I was thinking. Wow.
But you know, when the Bible talks about like generational curses, stuff like that, that's one of the big things that our church has been trying to highlight to our people, that we are passing on things that are not meant to be passed on, and that generations before us never tackled.
Yes.
And so just learning how to break those curses and knowing that God wants to break those curses in our generation, and it's taught me that we have to fight these battles for our kids so that they don't have to fight them.
I think the first thing is you have to recognize that they're there. Like
that's totally.
Oh, that was something passed down. It's like that can be an aha moment. And then it's like, oh, what do I do? So that's cool that you guys are talking about it and trying to equip the people in your church to break that. It's huge.
Yeah, and it's scary because you have to confront things in your family that most people in your family don't want to confront, and they don't want to acknowledge that. They may know it's there, but it's completely normalized.
Right, right.
And so when that thing is just like insipid right in your family, and then all of a sudden God's like, hey, you know what? That's something that needs a break, and we want to get your family healthier emotionally, spiritually for that thing. And you're like, oh, and I'm called to do that? Oh, my gosh. Like you're suddenly causing that cycle. You think of like a bicycle wheel and you stick a stick right in there and it's the whole thing just falls apart. And that's super scary. And you're going to face some drama and some backlash on that probably because people just don't like that. But learning how to do that so that your kids end up healthier.
Yes.
Man, that's a vision that I think God wants for all of our families.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it goes back down to the kind of the concept that we were talking about earlier is like, we want the results right now, but some of those types of things are things that are going to take time, take effort, take a lot of work to work through. And the enemy wants us to think that it's overwhelming, but God wants us to know that when he sets us on that journey, that we can overcome it through him.
Yeah. Or even like, it's just not worth it. It's not worth the effort, but it's like, then when you go through some of it, you're like, oh man, I wish we would have done this earlier.
Because you
see it.
And then especially, you know, being a Japanese American and having to wrestle with the shame that's been passed on for generation after generation after generation after generation, it can really seem daunting to try to step into that. But knowing that's not what I want my children to step into or to live through that paradigm where that's the lens that you're seeing the world through is through a lens of shame. It's like, wow, if God wants my kids and my family to live victoriously in him, how can we do that if we are carrying the shame?
Yeah.
Right. And so I feel like for my family and for myself, that's been a journey that has been years in the process of dealing with. And as different levels get taken care of, it's like the Lord's going, there's more, there's more. There's you got to go deeper. You got to go deeper. You've taken care of a little bit. You've given this to me. Now you got to go deeper. There's more down there. But it's been a good journey. Mm. It's been a good journey. And I could see it more and more in my kids, too, that they're not having to live with the depth of some of the things that I've had to live through.
Yeah, totally. And I think it's something that I have to recognize that, you know, for our own parents or grandparents, it's taught me to have more grace for them. Because it's like, these things are passed down to us. But, again, it's like they didn't always realize that. Mm-hmm. And again, like, I'm not trying to throw my own parents on the bus, but my parents actually, I think, dealt with a lot of that already. Mm-hmm. And so I may have had it a little bit easier in some ways and harder in some ways, but for each of us, our own family journeys are going to be different. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, okay, I have to learn to have grace for those who came before me who that wasn't revealed to them. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, the generation above me was not, they weren't believers. Mm-hmm. They didn't know how to handle this. Mm-hmm. This was just completely culturally normal to them. And then learning how to understand them, then I think brings us closer. Mm-hmm. Or it can anyways. Obviously, mm-hmm. for some families, it could dredge it up and explode. But I think if we're able to handle it in healthy ways and handle it with the gospel, handle it with the Holy Spirit, then we're able to then say, like, okay, you know, my family may have dealt with this in the past, and that's all they knew. And so I can understand why that was passed down. And it hurt me, yes, but I can forgive that because I understand where it comes from, and I know that God now wants to transform me from that. And so it takes away that sort of bitterness and judgmental part that can come from, like, oh my gosh, why did I get this? You know, you didn't pass me down generational wealth, you passed me down generational curses. So it's helped me have a little more grace for the generations above or that came before us in knowing that, okay, that was their journey. And now I can see what God is doing for my family now.
I was just looking at some of the notes from Pastor Barry's message to the fathers, and you know, the first point he was making was they take responsibility for the physical and spiritual growth, and then they care for others. And I'm like, yeah, that, as dads, we need to step into that role, because it seems like, oh, I don't know how to do that, or or maybe you want your wife to do it, or you're with somebody else. It's like, yeah, but we have to step into that role of wanting to break off things. And maybe you don't know how to do it. You need to reach out for advice or help. But it's like, we need to be willing, and even having that heart of, like you were saying, Damon, you don't want your kids to wrestle with the same things and deal with the same things that were passed on to you. And it's like, we have that ability to break and change the direction and not allow that river to keep pouring. And we can create a different river that's going to pour in blessings instead. But, you know, I sometimes, or oftentimes, the men just, they either don't recognize it, or they don't take that role seriously, that they need to step in and do that.
Yeah, I think the way that our society has shifted the pendulum on what it looks like to be a man and what is valuable about being a man has gone a little bit too far, right? Yeah. Like, there was a season in our culture where there was a lot of toxic masculinity and that type of stuff. Absolutely. And we need to acknowledge that there was a time where that would... But now, the pendulum's going to the other way, where it's the emasculated man, where, you know, as a man, it's not my role to step into positions of leadership or those types of things. And so it's not valued in our society for men to do those types of things, or to take responsibility, to take that responsibility.
Take the initiative, too.
And that actually ends up hurting families, too, because men are not taking up their place.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so... You know, I think that that's been something that the Lord has been really highlighting to me, was that it wasn't when Dylan was born that I was given the heart of a father, but that God has been trying to place that heart in me from before, and that just as someone who's a little bit farther ahead than others, that I can take responsibility in helping them to grow spiritually, grow emotionally, grow personally, and carry that father's heart, even if I don't have my own kids of my own. And then, what does that look like when I do have my own kids? I can carry that into that. And so those relationships that were there before are actually training ground for me to being who I was supposed to be as a father. And so I think that's been something that God's been highlighting to me, is just that it doesn't mean you have to have your own kids to carry the heart of the father.
Yeah.
That you know, we do have a lot of spiritual dads out there that don't have their own kids, but they're mentoring, they're speaking into, they're raising up the next generation, and they're raising up, I mean, I feel very fortunate that I've had spiritual dads who have spoken into me that weren't my own, but just I recognize I wouldn't be where I am today without those men speaking into me and speaking life into me and challenging me and calling certain things out of me. And so, yeah, I really feel like the Lord's been highlighting to me that it's not just because I have kids that I carry the Father's heart, but that He's been placing that in me since long before.
Yeah. I mean, the ability to grow and recognize that we need to grow is just so necessary. And like you said, like it is time for men to stand up and actually take initiative. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we have been taught, we can blame the media, we can blame the world, but part of that is we bought into that. Mm-hmm. We bought into this idea that, oh, it's okay, we just have to work and, you know, go, and then we can just rest on the couch the rest of the day. That's okay. There's a lie in there. Mm-hmm. And there is something of leadership that, yeah, men are called to. I mean, women too, obviously. Mm-hmm. But men are called to be active. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and not in that toxic masculine way. Obviously, yeah, there's some very awful things that have happened that, yeah, we have to acknowledge and we have to correct in our own society and sometimes even within ourselves. But, yeah, we are called to lead. And leading doesn't mean necessarily... that, oh, we have to push others down, but leading means we have to take initiative and sometimes call shots first of all, within ourselves.
Right.
Dude, like, I've got to lead myself. Mm-hmm. I've got to be willing to say, like, yeah, this part of me is lagging behind in where God wants me to be, and take initiative and say, all right, God, how are we going to do this? How are we going to move forward in this? And like you said, like, when we're able to live that life, we're then able to pour that and from our own mistakes, from our own brokenness that God is leading us out of, and then teach that to other generations. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you said, I think that's really important that we're able to do that for not just, yeah, our own kids, our own biological kids, but we're able to do that for the church around us. And I think that's what's so cool about how I think the church is shifting into this place, at least I think in your circles and in my circles too, that men are really called to be that iron sharpening iron.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, you mentioned like, yeah, it's not impossible because it feels impossible mm-hmm. sometimes. And when we know that we actually have the church, other men around us who are fighting these same battles, who are doing it together, that is just such a pick me up, right? It's just such an encouragement to know that we don't have to do this thing alone. And I think it's kind of scary when you sometimes look at like the way that men have been sometimes, and it's like some men like don't have friends. Mm-hmm. Like they have friends through their wives. Like they're friends with all their wives' husbands and that kind of thing. But they don't actually like hang out and do life together. Mm-hmm. But God's calling us to a deeper friendship through the church. And we actually have friends that we can actually go deep with and share our lives with and share our struggles with and know that, yeah, we're not doing this thing alone.
It's interesting that you bring that up because Kyle gave me a book before he went to Japan.
Have you started reading it?
I did, and I just finished that chapter on loneliness.
That's what I just finished. I'm in the same spot. I was thinking the same thing. That's so funny.
And so this is a book by John Tyson. What is the book called? I don't even remember.
I always get the first word. Something Shadows.
Chasing Shadows or... something like that.
Yeah.
So it was just released. Kyle just bought it. Like it was released like 2 days before he went to Japan.
Yeah.
And it's by John Tyson. And it's really calling men up and recognizing some of the things that the world may be pointing men to that are not fulfilling.
Yeah, there's seven areas where that men are struggling. One is loneliness. And yeah. I talked just about that. Like Absolutely. They don't have people that, like other men that they can, like you said, do life with, be vulnerable with. It's just surface level. And it's like, that level of loneliness is like eating away at what men are supposed to be. Absolutely.
And I think the thing that was highlighted to me reading that chapter is kind of the result of the loneliness.
Mm.
The result of the loneliness is men feeling numb and feeling numb to the world.
Mm.
Right. And so rather than feeling alive, they just feel numb.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's something that the enemy wants men to be, is just numb. They're not able to feel empathy for the people around them because they're not able to have feeling, right? It's just, I'm just numb. Mm-hmm. And the Lord, that's not what the Lord wants for us. He wants us to be in community. He wants us to be fully alive and alive to the full.
And women are much better at that.
Well,
yeah. but not that they are automatically going to be, they do a better job investing in that. And men just, we've been either taught that way or just, I don't know what it is, all the dynamics, but it's like, yeah, there's a gap there.
Yeah, absolutely. And we men have to work at that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I think, something that in our generation that God is highlighting to us, like how we're going to grow to become the men of God that he's wanting us to be. And it's not that we have to look like women, you know, emotionally, spiritually like that, but that we have to carry that in our own selves. Like we've had to learn to be more emotionally sensitive because like none of us were equipped how to do that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh, like, you know, like that wasn't taught growing up, especially I think for our cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And so just learning how to, you know, gain that vocabulary, being more in touch with ourselves, more in touch with our sin, more in touch with the things that we've got to grow into. It's like, it's not just, like we're men. So we're going to, you know, go forth and be Jesus followers. That's it. It's like, no, there's depths to this thing.
I thought it was interesting, and just thinking of that book, he talked about three types of glass that have led to loneliness. So the glass on your phone, so the screen, that leads to distraction. So your phone is a distraction. The glass on your TV, like your TV screen, leads to numbing. And then the glass in your car, your windshield, because that, he's talking about how like society shifted when the car was established. it people would now drive 30 minutes by themselves and they get to your place and then they don't talk. Whereas before you had to walk by your neighbors, you had to walk places, and then you had conversations generated all the time and there was more interaction and more relationships. And when he said it at first, I was kind of like, that seems kind of just too basic, too kind of hokey or whatever. And then then he went on a little bit more and I'm like, oh my gosh, you're right. Like when society shifted with some of those like advances, it totally made building relationships, engaging in relationships, especially for men, it made it much harder. There was way, way more barriers that were put there that naturally weren't there for generations. And I'm like, oh, dude, I can see that. I totally can see myself in those, with some of those things of like, oh yeah, I've seen that. That was become, it's made things harder in my developing relationships or maintaining them too.
Yeah, I think, I mean, isolation like that kills you, mm-hmm. right? Like we are social beings. God made us for other people.
Yeah.
And regardless if you're an introvert or, you know, we all need alone time. We all need space for ourselves. Absolutely. But yeah, when it becomes so normalized and just such a part of our daily life, when that glass is more of a an interaction point mm-hmm. than the rest of humanity, it's definitely going to play on our psyches.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's good to recognize that. And obviously there's definitely other factors and complexities mm-hmm. to that, but yeah, like that's a good thing to remind ourselves of that. Yeah. We have to be intentional about, maintaining those relationships and growing those relationships.
Okay. So as we've been talking about just some of the different ways that the enemy has been trying to, distract or distort the image of men and fathers, one of the things that when I was on my run yesterday, I kind of got this image of Super Dad and how kind of the world has trying to point us to becoming Super Dad, and how I don't know if that's necessarily what the Lord wants for us to be Super Dad. And I guess I can give a little bit more explanation of what that is. The world just says we need to be all of these different things, right? Like we need to be super available. We need to be making money. We need to do all of these different things. And we need to be everything to everyone in our family. We need, but what I felt like the Lord was telling me was that he just wants us to be who he made us to be. And he's given us everything that we need to be the father for our kids. And then also for us to be a spiritual mentor to the people around us. And so it's not like we need to strive to become someone we're not, but it's more we need to just be who he made us to be for our families. And when we're able to do that, we're actually pointing our families to him, because they're going to be able to see our weaknesses, our struggles, the ways that we need the Lord. And because we need the Lord, they're going to say, oh, I need the Lord, instead of, oh, I just need dad. But I need my dad, but I also need the Lord. Mm. So that was something I thought I wanted you guys to help me unpack that, because I was like, oh, that's an interesting concept, because I have felt, one of the things that Pastor Barry talked about in his sermon this week was when we become a dad, you take on the responsibility and you start to carry the responsibility, right? And I feel like that's been something that I've struggled with personally. It's just feeling the weight of the responsibility of my family and of everything. And so there's this pull I have to be Super Dad. But then when on my run yesterday, I felt like the Lord was saying, no, that's not who I made you to be. I didn't make you to be Super Dad. I made you to be Damon, the father of these kids and the husband of Tracy.
Yeah. I think when I hear it, I think the key word was striving, because I think when you do step into being the dad, into the dad role that God created you to be, I think you do become a super dad, but I think you're not doing it from striving. Mm-hmm. So I think we all can be that, because I think the more we operate in who God made us to be, people notice, and it's like, oh man, that's dynamic. There's something powerful behind that. But when we do it out of striving, then it's like, it's not sustainable, because you can't do it out of your own flesh.
Yeah. I think as you're talking, I feel like God is highlighting the word present. Mm. And that we're like, yeah, the I don't say the opposite of super dad, because I agree that, like, yeah, you become the super dad that God made you to be rather than super dad and striving. But if you're just being present with your kids, being present with your family, and I'm guilty of not doing that, as many of us are, but that requires us to be present with God too, and requires us to be having God's presence just as it for us. I think it's so easy to be trapped into that super dad mode, and I'm pretty guilty of that, because I'm like serving in like two levels of PTA at my school.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah. I have a lot of different hats.
Yeah.
But unfortunately or fortunately, sometimes there are hats that we're called to wear or have to wear, because there are things we have to do for our families. But just learning how to really, just be dad, and just be a son too, and let that flow from the presence of God, so that we're not striving, and I think what comes with striving is a lot of self judgment too. And measuring and performance, and that, we're never going to get to that level, I think the sooner we're able to admit that, I'm never going to be that super 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 dad, because I'm human, and God's still in the midst of transforming me, the sooner we'll be able to let in the presence of God, and that brings more healing, and that brings more peace. Coming full circle here, and just letting that eke into our families as well instead.
And it's, Brett, it's kind of what you said earlier too about giving yourself grace, right? Yeah. It's like that's part of that. And once you can do that and operate and live in that, that's when you end up really flourishing into like what that super dad potential is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think grace for yourself as a dad, as a parent.
Especially as a dad though.
As a dad, is just so necessary. Because, it's like we may have had the best of models, we may not have had the best, or we may not have, and just knowing that we're fighting our own battles too, but we're fighting them for our families, it can be overwhelming, right? But to know that God wants to bring us through, and to know that God used men who were as imperfect or more imperfect than us, I think of Joseph, and it's like, dude, Joseph, you lost Jesus for a good number of days in your job. that's child services would be on you. And it's like, Jesus was raised by an imperfect dad. Mm. I mean, obviously he had the perfect father in heaven, but Joseph was not perfect.
Right.
And yet God still chose to use him to raise the Son of God.
Right.
Like, whoa, that's mind blowing. Mm. To know that we're in that same company. and to know that it's okay to be imperfect, right? Like it's like, yes, sin is not what our goal is, but to know that Jesus is still working on us, it's okay. Yeah. And that gives me a lot of peace.
Yeah. As you're talking, it really reminded me of a skit that we did a long time ago.
Oh boy. Dig deep.
Yeah. That we actually took to Japan.
Yep.
And the skit was called Measuring Up. And some of you may be able to witness what this skit looks like in the coming weeks, as it may be performed at one of the upcoming services by the Africa team. So you might get a chance to witness this skit. But the skit was called Measuring Up, and it's really talking about God's grace for us in the midst of a world that keeps telling us we don't measure up.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty powerful skit when it's done. And I really feel fortunate that I was able to experience it with Brett and be able to take that skit to Japan, in a place where they're constantly being measured and told they're not good enough, and to see how they were able to receive the love of God in the midst of that, because through the skit showing Jesus' love for the people, even in the midst of not measuring up, I think it's just pretty powerful.
Oh, absolutely. Measuring up, I think that's like the baseline
of drama ministry to me. It's like mm-hmm. that's like the not baseline. It's like the gold standard in like Christian drama ministry. That one I think has always touched my heart, because I mean I've struggled with that. I've struggled with my own performance anxiety in my life, and to know that God has that grace for me and is not measuring me to that standard. He just loves me because I'm his son. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that that really was a magical. It's absolutely magical, that particular sketch.
Okay, so I had a little check in my spirit. Actually, I had my wife's voice ringing in my head right a little bit ago, because I actually said, you know, especially for dads, like the grace, giving yourself grace. And then I'm like, you know, I just heard Mimo say the other day something about being a mom, especially with young kids, like really young, and how hard moms are on themselves. And so I'm like, yeah, it isn't just, it's not especially dads. It's just parents in general. Because you even said parent, and I'm like, well, especially dads. But actually, it's really both parents. And I think we both carry high expectations, or we can have that put on ourselves. But, you know, we have a lot of moms listening too. And I know it's not just a dad thing. I think dads don't recognize it. I think the moms maybe recognize it. Maybe they don't deal with it well. I think the dads, we need to do a better job of recognizing it and then stepping into some of these things. But I did want to say that, you know, I totally understand the weight that moms carry as well. And I really respect the level that they carry. But I think there's a gap for the dads that we need to catch up.
Yeah. I would say that. So, sorry, I don't know what's happening.
That's all right. Kyle's had plenty of those times in the past
Me and Brett both with our allergies. Yeah, they're Brett.
Yeah.
Hey, it's part of the Brett chair. So
yeah, right.
Get used to it.
The chair, guys. So I'll say this, because I totally agree that we have to recognize just the struggles that the moms go through. And we may not always feel that because we're not in those same experiences. Mm-hmm. And so us as dads have to create that margin for our wives and other women in our lives who are experiencing something different. And I'll just say, ladies, I totally still don't know exactly what it's like, but as I've been more a stay-at-home dad, my wife makes much more money than I do, and we decided that, in the culture of our family, she was going to be the breadwinner. That was how mathematically it was going to be. And my job was, when we started having kids, was to stay home for the most part. And right now I'm only working a part-time salary. And so I have gotten to experience some of what the stay-at-home parent life is like. Mm-hmm. And I will say I was not equipped for that. And having to learn on the fly, no matter how many parenting books you read, no matter how many podcasts or how many other adults have told you, oh, this is how it's going to be. It's like, it was a little different. Yeah. And so, having grace for the stay-at-home mom or the working mom, it is playing a different role. Mm-hmm. And knowing that you're all one unit that is supposed to be working together, and that's that key. You may not always see what the other person's struggling with. We have to make space for our wives. We have to make space to listen to their heart, to listen to what they're going through, to let them have their own friends and have their own lives outside of that, and give them that space. I think this is so key for having a healthy spiritual family. Mm-hmm. Just recognizing that there's a lot of hard work that they put in that we don't see.
Yep. So shout out to the moms on our Father's Day episode, and my wife's voice ringing in my head right now.
Shout out to the moms, because without you, we wouldn't be dads.
There you go.
That's very true.
Oh, Damon, I think you need to go sit in the Brett chair. That wasn't profound enough. You need a different layer.
I don't need to be profound. That's what we have Brett for.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
My job is just to keep the conversation moving. All right, and on that note, we are coming closer to a close to this episode. Just really appreciate Brett and your willingness to come on. Is there anything that you'd like to leave our listeners with? Some more wise words that you've already, I mean, you've already left us with so much, but is there anything else that you'd like to leave our church family with that, before we close this episode?
Oh, man. Honestly, it kind of just goes right back to where I was in the beginning with the peace and joy kind of thing. It's just so sad to me sometimes to watch the church just get caught up in all of the it's all of the other stuff.
Mm.
And sometimes we just need to bring it back to Jesus. Just bring it back to Jesus. That's who we're called to follow. We're not called to follow anything else in this world. It's all just goes back to Jesus, and it just has to start with our own souls. It has to start with who we are as an individual person and our relationship with Him. And when we're able to simplify it back down to that, everything flows out of that. Everything just flows from last Sunday at church, or well, that was yesterday. It feels like a lifetime ago now. But like we sang the song. It's like it's who you are. It's who you are, and then it's who I am, right? And you're a good, good Father. And we remember that He is our good, good Father. It changes who we are. And when we let that Father love us just as we are, knowing that, yeah, we have to grow. We're called to grow. But His love for us never changes. It honestly, that's what's transformed my life. And it's still in the midst of transformation, you know, so many years later. But letting that just be your absolute center, it then changes the way that you interact with the world, interact with people, and it lets you be that salt and light that God's called you to be.
All right, before we close this episode,
I wanted to see how long it would take you to jump in. Damon was looking at me, and I could have said something, but I
wasn't looking at you to force you to say something. I was looking at you to see if you had something you wanted to say. I want to allow you the space.
Well, I have something just before we close, but not deep. It's more funny. So
I was gonna go with that too, because I do feel like Brett, what you had to say is like that. We could just end it right there. It was really good, but. You know, for those listeners out there that may have known you for a long time, because we do have some listeners out there that have been in our lives for a long time, which is an awesome thing. And we have some new listeners. You know, I just wanted to share a little bit of fun stuff about you too.
Like, okay.
One of the cool things that I really appreciate about Brett, and I love following him on the social media stuff, is that Brett loves to cosplay, and he's actually really good at it too.
So what is that? Because I didn't know that term until you explained it. I'm like, oh, okay.
Cosplay. Well, actually, why don't I let the professional explain what cosplay is? And
okay, so cosplay is basically people creating costumes, usually of very nerdy or pop culture icons, such as superheroes or anime characters, video game characters, all that kind of stuff, and wearing your costumes. Mostly done at conventions, sometimes at movie premieres. Maybe in public if you're really into that. I don't know. just nerding out on that level.
Nice.
And wearing your costumes.
So, I mean, you use the term nerding out, but when I see it, I don't see it as nerdy. I see it's like, that's really cool. Like, your talent level for creating some of these costumes is just amazing. So what are some of your favorite costumes that you've created? And then kind of where have they led you to?
Oh, okay. We're going there. Okay. Well, it's not nerdy anymore because the nerds have ruled the world now. we took over and now we're normal. we're not the guys sitting alone on the bench at school anymore. So I think the biggest costume that I created is the Sentinel from X-Men. And some of you may be writing that right now because you may be watching X-Men 97, which just came out. And so the Sentinel is like a giant robot that hunts mutants. And so I got to showcase that costume with Marvel at San Diego Comic-Con in 2018, I think it was. Yeah, I think 2018. So, and that's kind of led me to get open doors to go to the Marvel MCU movie premieres and stuff like that. So, that's been a pretty cool journey.
Yeah, one of my favorite ones is that you created the Ten Rings and you got to go to the premiere for that movie, right?
Yes, yeah. So I got to, I did a cosplay of Wenwu, who's the father of Shang-Chi. And it was like, oh, I finally have a character on in the MCU who kind of looks like me.
And you actually really did look like him, too. I had to do a double take because I was like, wait, is that Brett or is that the actual actor?
Any day I can get compared to Tony Leung, that's a good day. Cool. Thanks for making my day, Damon. Yeah, but yeah, so I did get to do the his sort of black costume that he wears, and I did the 10 rings. And for me, I love to add electronics to my costume, so I added lights to the ring so they glow, and then I learned how to use motors, and so I actually got to have the outer ring kind of go forward and back, and so I got to actually show that one to Kevin Feige, who's the president of Marvel Studios, and he was like, "Whoa, that's really cool!" And the director's
that's awesome. Cool.
Yeah,
yeah. So if you don't know Brett and you want to follow him, what are some ways that you can check out some of the stuff that we're talking about?
Shameless self promotion.
Yeah. I just want to, you know, hype you up a little bit, because I think it's been pretty cool to be your friend and to see some of these things that you're doing. It's awesome.
Thanks, man. And I will say that Damon did borrow my Jedi outfit for a while.
Oh, we did actually used it for one of our Christmas programs.
Oh, really?
We did a Star Wars Christmas program, and we actually used his Jedi costume as one of the costumes in the show.
Yeah, yeah. And then COVID hit, and I don't think I got it back for like 3 years, right?
No, it was much longer than that. It was more like 8 or 9 years I had it.
COVID's been that long? Man. Okay, but yeah, if you do want to follow me, feel so weird saying this, but you can follow me at The Brothers Yi Cosplay on Instagram, or if you just want to follow my own personal account, which is at Yi Brett, I'm on Instagram as well, and then I'm on Facebook under those as well. So Brett Yi and The Brothers Yi Cosplay.
Awesome.
So, I mean, my closing thing wasn't going to be anything like that. So I'm just going to shut up now. No, I was like, okay, I think Brett needs to come back for another episode, because then we need both Bretts, and then they can fight over the Brett chair for one thing. And then me and you can be saying Brett, and then they don't know who we're talking to.
Oh, dude, that's the worst.
But so, and then, I mean, I know who you are. I know I'd recognize you, but I don't know you, because we were only at Cerritos for a little bit.
Yeah.
And I know your mom and dad a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But then he was sharing with me about your trip to Japan. So I'm thinking, like, okay, if he comes back, I want to hear, he just told me this brief story, something about a sword going backward over your head, and then your reaction. So I'm like, well, maybe we can incorporate that into the next episode. So we'll leave that as a little teaser.
But I thought I'm healed from that trauma.
Kyle, that was just between you and me. You weren't supposed to bring that up.
You didn't put a disclosure before or disclaimer before you shared it. So,
yeah, Brett and I have had some interesting stories, and you know, there's another one that we might tease. So if Brett ever comes back, we can go a little bit deeper onto this one. But there was perhaps a 50th reunion style thing, that there's a connection between his family and my current family, and just kind of an interesting story, but we don't have time. You know, we're closing in on time now.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Maybe if Brett comes back, we can elaborate a little bit more on that. But
so now you have to come back.
We realize that the world is very, very small, and it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Things I didn't even think about. That was a different way to end this time. Like it feels like that was more for intro, but we had like an intro and then an outro, so it was good.
I guess full circle.
Full circle, and guess that means Brett just needs to come back one day. So, Brett, again, we appreciate your time coming on and sharing with our church family some of the things that God's been teaching you about just himself and about being a dad and your heavenly father.
And just want Brett Harada to know that Brett Yi honored the Brett chair, and it was he went off the dome, and he was like very deep, so it was very good today.
Yeah, that's one of Brett Harada's terms, is off the dome, meaning
the dome.
Unscripted.
Yeah.
Mm, okay. All right. Good. I'm glad I could do that, and it's been a pleasure to be on. I will say, I always feel like you guys are still family. Like even though, like, yeah, we don't get to hang out in our day to day lives. But you know, the old CBC connection. Actually had like two dreams about CBC the other day, and it's just knowing that we're all still part of God's family together.
Awesome. Thanks again. And until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.